YouTube. Let me first give the members good news and then take it from there. The good news is that we're back to business as usual from next week, so we only meet on Wednesday. This hectic Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the past 2 weeks. And tomorrow is the last, so we meet next week Wednesday, and I think we deal with overcrowding. Back to Wednesday morning. So I'm sure Cindy will let you know. Tomorrow we're going to finalize the report, Mr. Abraham. From 2 o'clock, we are appealing for all members to be there because we need a quorum to adopt our report. We don't anticipate it to be a long report, neither do we anticipate it to be a long meeting. So if all members can be there at 2 o'clock tomorrow, we will release you thereafter. And today, DTS, we're going to try and wrap up as much as possible with yourself on all matters outstanding from the last couple of interactions. The end objective being that we should be sufficiently informed to be able to write a report on Thursday at 2 o'clock. So you have an opportunity now to set the record straight where we have a misunderstanding. Members have an opportunity to ask the last question of clarity so that when we write our report, we are able to argue our points. Members of DTS won't be there to clarify tomorrow, so if there's any clarity that we need to ask today. Sure that Cindy has sent out the list of outstanding matters from the last meeting, so you do have that. Just to say to DTS, we met with the Auditor General yesterday on their take of the annual report. Wasn't very encouraging. I'm sure members will elaborate, but it was not very encouraging from the AG what he reported on. We met with Crew, we met with Nicro, and we met with CSPRI or something like that, Mr. Lucas Munting. And we received a briefing from the researchers. So that's what we've done in the past 24 hours. And after today's meeting, we're hoping that we're prepared to go and write our report that will be adopted at Parliament later this year. I'm not sure, Commissioner, if you had any specifics that you wanted to respond to initially, or if we move to members to engage, ask questions. I'm not sure, but maybe we should give you a few minutes if there's a matter that you wanted to respond to, Commissioner.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for this opportunity. Last week, on Thursday, I requested and made an apology that I should be absent from this meeting. And I should think it's appropriate for me to inform the Chairperson why I'm here today. I indicated that I'll be attending a JPCC in Botswana, which was to start on Monday to Thursday. On Saturday, I got a report that indicated that there were other issues that needed our attention as a department, and most importantly, the minister was also supposed to be in Botswana. And therefore, there was a need for us to be homebound. It is therefore, Chairperson, appropriate for me to indicate that I'm leading the delegation again today. I've elected to send Mr. Modise to Botswana to represent the organization. And the minister also is not going. The minister of defense also is on the ground. So the meeting in Botswana has been downscaled to a point where senior managers will have to take a decision on some of the issues raised. Chairperson, thank you for granting us this opportunity to interact with yourself. I am aware that there was a meeting yesterday with other stakeholders. And I would like to make a few comments with respect to some of the issues that were raised, if the opportunity is given to us later. As the head of the institution, to respond to some of the issues and what we need to say on us. Thank you very much for this opportunity again, and we really want to interact with the honorable members of this committee on the issues that they want to raise with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members can then engage with the department on matters that you had raised in the past 2 or 3 days, or even matters that you picked up yesterday or the day before. I mean yesterday, from stakeholders, so that we get clarity. The first person I want to raise, or maybe I should make a comment first and then raise the question. The Auditor General informed us that I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but this year, when I say this year, the 2009-2010 financial year, they were not required to prefer an opinion on the performance. In future, they are going to. But had they done that this year, this department would have received an adverse audit opinion. That's the worst possible audit opinion you can get. Bearing in mind that this committee has made an undertaking that priority number one on our pillar of six when we started was to move this department from a perennial qualification department to a clean audits department. So when we got that news, we were taken aback very much yesterday from the AG's office. And the reasons that he quotes for this adverse opinion is that performance indicators are not captured. Performance indicators are not submitted to headquarters. In instances where they are captured or submitted, they are done on loose pieces of paper. And the example that he cited was that if anybody went and asked for proof or support documents for the sentence plan, DCS would be able to give it to them. I am taken aback because I would have assumed that in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen, that we should have a database so that if I punched in prison number 123, it'll come up saying Vincent Smith arrested on that day, charged for that, sentence plan in place, and that type of thing. But what I got from the AG was that at least the sentence plans are still manual. Admin section, every year we ask this question, every year we get told that the admin program is so high because of IT and IT related matters. These are the type of value add that IT should be doing. These are the type of value add that IT should be doing. So that was just but one of the examples why the AG said that had they done or had they been committed to or forced to pronounce on the performance, it would be an adverse report. Other matters that were raised were that it seems like HQ is unable to enforce instructions and or regions and provinces and everybody else simply ignore instructions from HQ. You say X, they don't do it, and business carries on tomorrow. You don't follow up, they don't care. It's a problem. It's also a problem, ladies and gentlemen, and inappropriate for you to ask the regents to pronounce on whether they have met their target. How do you go to the person that should meet the target and say to him, have you met your target? What do you expect him to say? No. We'd expect an independent assessment, independent from the region, so that you go down and do that, or somebody goes down, but you can't ask the region to measure itself, and you use those measurements to inform our annual report. The final point that I wanted to make, and these are just overall observations from the committee, is that when we walked out of there, and I don't know how we're going to deal with this matter tomorrow, but I want it to be taken not as alarmist, but just so that you understand it. You know, if the AG says that on performance you'd have given an adverse opinion means the AG couldn't even make sense about whether this is made sense or not. That's what an adverse opinion is. In fact, if I read to you what or how they describe an adverse opinion. They say an adverse opinion is expressed when the effect of a disagreement with management regarding departures from the financial reporting, and in this case it might be performance reporting framework, is so material and pervasive to the financial sort of performance statements that the auditors concluded that a qualification of the report is not adequate to disclose the misleading or incomplete nature of the financial statements, or in this case, the performance statements. He doesn't know what to say, so he just gives you an adverse report. What that means is that this report that you're giving us, when you say that you have done 15,000 sentence plans, 25,000 sentence plans, or you've done this, how do we think that report has been accurate? Because the AG can't verify it. And in all your targets, you said, I've met it because I've done this, I've met it because I've done that, I've met it because I've done that. And independent assessment says, you know what, we can't even prefer an opinion of this. This is an annual report that goes to the public. I'm just raising it because of the nature of the seriousness. And I think Mr. Abram has said this countless of times. When you come to Parliament, please come to Parliament with information that you can verify. Don't just thumbsuck it somewhere. This is what the Auditor General is saying. He didn't say he thumbsucked it, but he said he can't verify. That's why he's giving me an adverse opinion. I don't know, members. Good to see this report when we look at it, his or his, in terms of e-performance, his or his. But I just wanted to raise those broad issues. The final one before I forget, somebody raised this here, that, and we supported you. Part of the difficulty, Chairperson, is that we've got 40,000 members. Our organogram shows 45. In other words, ideally we should put in another 5,000, and we supported you. But we can't do that because the Treasury has said we can't do it. And we said, no, we'll deal with Treasury, we'll talk to Treasury. Well, we did just that. We went to Treasury and we said to Treasury, we met with our department, and part of the challenge is that you are managing them downwards in terms of the human resources. We've received a response from Rachel Majura. Good day. Thanks again for the call. We'll give you a copy of this. Regarding the staff inmate ratio for correctional services, and this is Rachel is from Treasury. Let me quote the following statement from the allocation letter written to the department last year. The current personnel establishment plans need to be reviewed. with a view to adopting a more appropriate staff in Madrasa. National Treasury did not stipulate to the department how many members of staff it should have, but rather advised the department to embark on an exercise of determining the appropriate ratio and distribution of staff accordingly. So just to set the record straight, Treasury has not said manage downward. Treasury has said review your allocation. We've said that many times. Look at your staff deployment. Is it appropriate? Review it, and let's have a discussion. Treasury are saying to us that they've said the same thing, and they've not stipulated to the department how many members of staff it should have. So we wanted to set that record. But if after doing your review you still have the view that we must go to 25 or 45, we'll still support you. But let us support you on the basis of all of us having a common understanding of what the current restrictions or impediments are. Because we go to Treasury, we fight with Treasury, and Treasury says, but hold on you guys, why are you fighting us? We never made that statement. Finally, for my side, when we move to the 7-day establishments, I think we did that on the basis that we wanted to cut down on overtime and that type of thing. We've done a quick calculation of the overtime. In 2005-2006, this department had 492 million rand overtime. 2006 and 2007, you had 511 million rand overtime. Then it jumped up. 2007-2008, it moved to 868 million rand. When I say last, I'm talking financial year 2008-2009. For some reason, it went to 1.2 billion rand overtime. This current financial year, you've got 313 million rand. Now, it's a great reduction from the 1.2 billion. But it's not a great move from the 491 in 2005-2006 or the 511-2006-2007. So the point we you need to respond to is what is the optimum that we expect in terms of overtime payment with the 7-day establishment. In other words, is the 300 million an acceptable figure for overtime, see, even if we've gone to the 7-day establishment which was supposed to deal with it, or is it still work in progress towards managing it downwards? Those were my initial comments. If anybody from your side got to respond to that, and then members can, hopefully by now they've warmed up and they've got their direction in terms of what they want to ask, they can respond. But over to you, DG.
Thanks, Chairperson, for the frankness and the approach with which we have dealt with these matters. You have raised five significant questions. One is with respect to performance indicators. Inability for us to be able to provide this, and therefore if the Auditor General had gone that route, we would have received an adverse opinion. Indeed, my understanding is similar to yours, but in fact it means misleading information. Chairperson, let me give you an assurance that we accept that criticism. It's a reality that we need to address, and I've started to address that. If you want documentation to that effect, in me trying to address that issue, you would find it available. Wherein I said it is important that we deal with the performance indicators appropriately. I don't want to belabor the issue. It's a matter that is a factual issue. It's a problem that is in the organization. Lack of supporting documents is an issue that you need to be able to address appropriately. The issue of IT, Chairperson, and your honorable members is a cause for concern, and I place it on record to the team, to the minister that we need to deal with this matter appropriately. And we have also upscaled this matter with the Office of the Auditor General. With respect to HQ, I should think I said it in our previous engagements with yourselves, that we cannot have leadership that is inept, leadership that is not hands-on. That is on record, because if we don't have programs and accountability, therefore, there is no way that we'll be able to change the destiny of this organization. And therefore, all the CDCs and RCs, in their capacity as leaders, are accountable for what they lead in their branches and respectable areas. That is on record, Chairperson. I'll therefore request that we be measured going forward on some of these indicators ourselves, not making pregnant, very intelligent statements to yourselves and not being strong on the ground. It is true, Chairperson, that you cannot have performance indicators if you don't have monitoring and evaluation. You cannot be a player and a referee yourself. If you recall in my statement last week that there is a need for us to have internal audit in the regions, it is to emphasize this particular gap that I identified when we joined this organization. You cannot have information that is thumbs up or information that you are given for expediency purposes. On the issue of post-establishment, Chairperson, we take note of the communication that has been made to yourself, and certainly we'll engage with your team so that we should not be casting aspersions in this meeting. We certainly appreciate the point that has been raised. With respect to the 7-day establishment and the various years that you have given us in terms of downscaling our levels of overtime, I should think that I'll give it time, and my colleagues in HR as well as finance will be able to provide me with what is the benchmark. When we came to this committee, and when we said the 7-day establishment has a number of priorities that it wants addressed, especially how did we think those issues would be addressed? What process did we put in place? And certainly, I agree with you, if you say 303 million, is it a benchmark, ideal level? I cannot answer that at this moment. But certainly it's something that I'll be able to raise with my team and be able to understand as to what is the ideal. Because if the objective of the 7-day establishment is to reduce or eliminate overtime, then we need to have a parameter that dictates towards achievement of that particular aspect. Chairperson, suffice to say that should any of my team that I lead here have specific responses on this issue, I don't want to leave it open and unattended to. And therefore, I'm opening the floor. If my statement suffices and there are additional issues, I think it's issues that are spot on, it's issues that have affected this organization. There is no way, Chair, as you have said, that one of the issues, the 6 pillars that you want to address as a portfolio committee, is to remove the perennial qualification of this organization. I should think we should take that with action to say that it's one avenue of helping us to become an organization that is compliant with the law. And therefore, we need to work towards that same objective with yourselves. I want to take a pause, Chair, and admit upfront that those issues are a reality. And therefore, we cannot hide here and say these issues are not problematic within the organization. We need to have a plan, and I should think those plans are clearly defined to my team and the delegation here as to when we started, where we want to see things happen. I had a meeting, I should think, 2 weeks ago with the branch OMS, where it was made very clear to me that performance indicators are issues that we need to address as quickly as possible. And one of the issues is the platform of IT, Chairperson. I was shown a system that I think properly managed, properly delegated to everybody, and introduced across the whole 6 regions. It is appropriate and it's possible for us to have information within 24 hours as and when we want it to be casted. We have an IT system. Jenny Steiner will be able to report on this, when it shows on time how things need to be done. Chairperson, as to why at times we're not dealing with these issues, as it's an issue that we are raising together as a collective, as a team, towards a common objective. We agree with the decision and the ideas that have been raised by the Auditor General that we are very poor on performance indicators, and we need to upscale ourselves and work towards that achievement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Any comments from the department? We'll start with you, Ms. Moreca, and then with Ms. Simon.
Thanks, Chairman. And to clarify the issue of overtime, the department agreed with the union stakeholders within the department in 2005. We had an arrangement, as agreed, a resolution between the department and the union with regard to saying that with regard to overtime, we will not compensate Saturday, but Saturday will be compensated non-monetary-wise via time off. We'll only compensate public holidays and Sundays. Even there, for Sundays, we're compensating a time and a half instead of double. And also, but if public holidays are complying with the Safety Conditions of Employment Act, that is 2005 resolution between the department and the union. That was an arrangement and an agreement between the two parties. It prevailed for 2004-5, 2005-6. But then, if you recall, in 2007, government signed the Resolution 1 of 2007, the Public Service Bargaining Council Resolution. That clearly stipulated, I think it's called 9 days, that in government, in any government department, there shall be no official that will be compensated via time off. So if an official works more than the normal 40 hours, 40 hours, 45 hours, all overtime will be compensated via only the monetary value. The effect of Resolution 1 was effective 3rd July 2007. Hence, we then see the pickup in 2007-8 financial year for the 9 months. And as a department, we did engage with the relevant departments, the Department of Public Service and Administration, with the Gas Clause 9. We engaged National Treasury, we even through the MTF processes to say that as a department, we had a resolution that was working for us in terms of also down managing the rent value of paying overtime to our officials, and we never had problems with the members. But the impact of this resolution is that then we're going to have the overtime just shooting up in terms of the rent value, for which we did not have money within the baseline, nor accommodated over the MTF process. So we had during 7-8 to be able now to pay for the 9 months of 7-8, had to do recalculation of funds, to do environment. We consulted even legally to check whether the resolution one supersedes the departmental bargaining council resolution, and we advised that it does. Hence then, if you look at the 7-8 record, we did not immediately pay after the resolution for that specific consultation. I think we began to pay around about November, after we've done the consultation, getting a legal opinion, interacting with PSA and National Treasury. And then effected the payment, because they told us that resolution supersedes the DPC. So we implemented the clause 9 of the resolution 1 of 2007. But that's for 9 months and 7 days, the impact of resolution over time. If you go now to 8-9 financial year, then you've got the full-blown impact of overtime compensated by money for the whole financial year. Hence, even in that year, if you look at our over-expenditure, we overspent by 183 million. When you look at the actual budget actual expenditure for overtime, it is at 1.2 billion. We had to then minimize the impact, introduce the tightening measures, have moratorium at that stage, we call it the soft moratorium, because we excluded certain critical and scarce skills from the full-blown moratorium, that is in 8-9. But we're saying that as much as they're not allocated, we can then kind of put our hands up and say we're not allocated, therefore the income is just an over expenditure. We're still accountable in terms of the PFMA. So what we had them to do is just to see how do we accommodate the additional cost pressure that is not accommodated for in the MCF allocation that the department. If you look at 9-10 financial year, the declaration was made on the 7-day establishment, and the effective date of 7-day establishment in DCS was 1st July 2009. So the 300 million that we paid for overtime in 9-10 is basically for April, May and June, the 3 months. But then for those 3 months, we're not on 7-day establishment, it was still a 5-day establishment. And we had, therefore, according to clause 9, paid the overtime to our officials. But from July 2009, we did not pay the overtime in line with COVID 19 then. It was a good day establishment, Saturday or a normal working day. So what we had then was that we had to carry that expenditure. But what we have normally now going forward, like for example this financial year 2010-11, we do still have an allocation of about 15 million, that's for overtime, because still, as much as we are a 7-day establishment, it does happen that our officials would work over and above the 40-hour week or the 45-hour week on approval. It's not automatic anymore that you come to work then qualify for the Saturday, that you come into work on Saturday and Sunday. But if, for example, there is a particular project, whatever resources are needed, then if you work 50 hours for that week, then there would be a process of getting an approval. Normal overtime, you get it in any other organization in line with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act kicks in. So at the end of August, we spend again the 15 million and about 6.6 million actual expenditure on overtime for 2010-11. So moving forward, Chairperson, we are guaranteeing and assuring the policy that you will never again pick up the hundreds of millions of expenditure on overtime, but what you will continue to see is the normal overtime that we get in any company, in any government department, in any basic condition of employment.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Ms. Schreiner?
Chairperson, thank you, and good afternoon to all here. I want to pick up on the issue of the auditing of the performance information, because I thought that it would be useful to share with the committee work that we've already started to do in terms of the reasoning. We've given you the action plan based on the AG's recommendations, but specifically I wanted to share with you the work that we've done on auditing the information around the indicators, because I think that is the process that is going to enable us to ensure going forward that we have a different approach. We have, with each of the budget program managers, reviewed the information relating to the indicators, as the 44 indicators as published in the strategic plan. We have asked for clarity against each of those indicators for a very clear definition so that nobody can misinterpret or no two people can interpret that indicator differently. We have asked for the performance standard against that target, what is the ideal that we want to be able to reach, and we then ask for the baseline in relation to the performance indicator in the previous financial year. We have then asked them to confirm the targets that have been set against it, and in doing this we are addressing the areas in which the AG has picked up that some of the indicators don't have clearly set targets. The next part of the audit has been to look at what is the collection tool, and I think that this relates particularly to the issue that the AG has raised around the fact that there isn't source documentation. And we've asked for, in relation to each and every indicator, what is the tool that is used at centre level to collect that information, with a view to ensuring that tool then is replicated at management area level, with the source document for the management area level being the ones that have come from centre level. Similarly, that cascades to regional level, and that obviously then cascades through to the budget program process. We've also then done an audit of whether there is a clear instruction, going back to your concern about whether in fact we are complying with the instructions that have been given, whether there is in fact a clear instruction as to how that tool and how that reporting needs to be done. That information has been pulled together during the course of August and September, and we will now be taking that into our mid-year review, which is a process that has already started, a review process that starts at regional level first, and then goes through to the budget, to each budget program, and we are meeting next week as executive management to review the strategic plan and do the strategic planning process going forward for next year. I think it's also significant for the Portfolio Committee to note that the new framework that the Treasury has put in place around the strategic plan will assist us and all departments to approach the issue of indicators and performance information differently. There is now a far more standardized format for the strategic plan. It is very clearly designed to focus attention on outputs and outcomes, and the indicators that need to be measured in relation to that outcome. And we are in the process of adjusting from our existing strategic plan into that process. So, supporting what the Commissioner said, we are acutely aware of the fact that the is a view from the AG that an adverse opinion on performance information would have been expressed had this been the year in which they were receiving the expressed opinion. It relates also to our development of our information systems, and we are in a situation in which some of our collection tools will in fact be Excel spreadsheets rather than an automated process. Part of what we have emphasized very strongly in this auditing process is that it is not appropriate to wait for an IT system to be developed. There are processes in place that we will again be reviewing as part of our mid-year review to develop the remand, detention and offender management system that will do, as you were suggesting in your opening remarks, chairperson, automate a whole lot of the processes. But that cannot then be until we've got that, we won't have an appropriate measuring system and the necessary source documentation. Even when there is an automated IT system, there still needs to be source documentation that verifies what is in that system. So the process of us putting in place collection tools and databases and documents that can support that process is going to be critical. In our mid-year review, we are aiming to be able to review our strategy, confirm our indicators against that, confirm the targets going forward. Confirming targets not for 1 year but on a 5-year basis, which is what is required by the Treasury Strategic Planning Framework. We are then going to, on the basis of that, review our MIP, our Management Information Systems plan. So we're able to move forward those elements that are critical for us to be able to generate proper performance management, proper performance information. We would also be reviewing the human resourcing requirements, the human resource development requirements, the procurement requirements, and the financial requirements. But I think what I wanted to emphasize is that the work has already begun to drill into it. We are acutely aware, and certainly as OMX, the work that we've done over the last couple of years around our planning and reporting processes has not hit the ground in the way that we needed to, and hence we have sat down with the budget program manager to ensure that we're on the same page and we can really drive this effectively. We hope that the mid-year review that the Commissioner will lead us into next week will enable us to really draw into these processes. The adverse opinions on performance information will be a key element of that process going forward. I hope that gives a sense that the Department is not sitting oblivious of the fact. Some of the issues we have been acutely aware of prior to the audit opinion, but the audit opinion has also given us the detail that has really enabled us to zoom in on the particular problem. The audit process is with budget program management phase one. Having done that, the challenge then means to move to the regions and ensure that the effective use of those tools within the regions can generate performance information that we know that we can rely on and trust.
Member floor is yours. Anybody? Mr. Max, I know to you. Anybody other than Mr. Max? No, let's take Mr. Max for now.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask the Commissioner, given the explanation by Treasury about the so-called instruction to reduce the human resource personnel, which they denied, they didn't give that instruction. I just want to know, how did it come that such thing landed up on page 35 of the annual report, where it is stated very clearly that is instruction by National Treasury. And then, if you look into the personnel problem, then you heard last week that the department said that with the current strength, they lack human resource to fulfill certain obligations. But still, if you look at today's documentation, where there's a staff shortage, as well as in their documentation, the annual report as well, there was no appointment. Now, I would like to know why still suffering a shortage of human resource, but not making the appointment. Was there any reason who blocked them for making such appointments. And as a result, you will see there's an underspending in certain documentation. Then the non-reporting of information by region, page 66 and page 61 of the annual report. Page 61 of the annual report stated very clearly, the second paragraph from top, this is mainly attributed to the failure by most management areas to improve on their previous level of performance and lack of effective corrective measures to address shortcomings identified in previous inspections. And then on page 66, target not achieved, the last paragraph, the block, target not achieved to non-reporting by three regions, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and LMN, I don't know what is that. But nevertheless, I just want to know, I know the National Commissioner inherited this documentation in the situation. What has been done about it, or what is going to be done to address this particular issue of non-compliance? And also, I just, for the first round, the last thing is, given the fact that the National Commissioner started about May this year, after this annual financial year, previous financial year which we are dealing with, what is his assessment? And I said last week that I can sense that in the top management, there is substance, people know what is expected of them to do. But when you look at the outcomes, then there's a problem. And I said yesterday, but I'm concerned that in between, as they say in Afrikaans, how is it possible that top management know what to do, but the outcome is totally different? What is the National Commissioner's assessment? Because I think he was told when he was about to take up this position that there's something wrong, drastically wrong. And each and every manager, once you get into a position like this, make an assessment to determine where should I focus on. Now, his preliminary views with regards to this department, what do you think, what is the reason for this department to get to a situation where it is today, before we go later in the discussion further? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Department. Cheers to respond.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me deal with the last issue raised by honorable members. Upon assuming responsibility of this organization, it was very clear that there are challenges that are facing this organization. One of the major issues that I identified is the lack of accountability. That's one. There is what you call capacity within the organization. There is lack of enforcement of the principles and the policies which this organization has written and prepared in order to maintain and achieve its objectives. It is very clear if you read this report that what the Auditor General is saying, that there is lack of performance indicators, things are not done. The chairperson even captured it very clear that HQ is unable to enforce instructions. Therefore, if you have a lethargic leadership, you have leadership that does not cascade and is office bound and is unable to understand what is happening across the whole spectrum of what is supposed to be done, you are bound to have mediocrity. You are bound not to be able to have information that is needed to be collated in the manner that is supposed to be. I made a very clear assessment of my understanding of this organization last week, when I pointed out that we depend on junior staff to do everything and unable to do quality assurance of the information that we receive. There is a lot of information in this organization, information that can be, has been captured but not properly and appropriately used in order for us to be able to meet what is needed to lead this organization to the future. But most importantly, lack of accountability. Chairperson, we can go on ad infinitum on this matter. There is quality and depth in this organization. But the fact that many of us are able to travel only 100 kilometers from their areas of operation, it tells you a story. Very clear. A case in point which I would like the portfolio committee to compare with me is Rustenburg. Rustenburg is hardly 200 kilometers from HQ. And our core business is corrections. And if your managers are able to tell you a story of a facility that is only 200 kilometers, therefore, don't expect to be able to get quality information on 300 or 3,000 kilometers away from the center. I can only attribute that to the fact that for a long time we've taken things easy, buddy-buddy, lovey-dovey issues, not dealing with substantive issues which are core to the business. There is quality in this leadership that I have here. If you listen to Smareka on the issues that he has said with respect to the question raised on overtime, properly captured, properly documented, there is information. We can explain ourselves, not in order because we're in trouble. It's precisely because it's how we collect this information. Properly give it to yourself in a manner that is not demeaning, but in a manner that you'll be able to raise questions as to the quality and content of these issues. Chairperson, the other issue that you raised, the question of heaven was the issue that we went together and interacted on. I'm not raising issues which are not unfair with this issue that both of us were able to be interacted on and be able to be informed about it. Precisely because we are lazy. There's like a basical approach to doing things. Leadership is about folding your shirt up, immerse yourself on the issues, be on the centers, be on the cold face. If we're to ask on a random basis at leadership level, how many times they've been to centers, then the answer will be very thin on the ground. We cannot allow leadership at regional level to do as they wish, as if they are fiefdoms. But we should be able to hold them accountable for things that we all both buy into. That's the philosophy. This organization is capable of that. But for us to be able to change that mindset and the paradigm shift, it means, therefore, methodically, we need to be able to understand one another on the issues that are core to the business. The issue of Kimberley also. But yes, it may, Chairperson, we may go ad infinitum on this matter, but I sincerely believe my first assessment is that we need to be able to be people-centered and be close to the centers of activity and action. That's when you'll be able to understand where the problems lie. And if we are able to deal with those issues substantively, Blokop is a case in point, Chairperson. Hardly, it's about 33 kilometers. You went there. We were there together. The endemic problems, the issues that need to be addressed. Until sometimes somebody pricks your hand to be able to see, we don't see them. Because we sit in our offices and wait for reports to come. We need to hold those who are responsible in the cold face of business to be accountable. But for them to be accountable, they should be able to see our visibility on the ground. In the instances that we have indicated to yourself that there are problems in finance, the CFO indicated to yourself that we are recruiting 407 interns. The question at the bottom of this is, why? It's precisely because we want to maintain a level of high-level involvement in those areas wherein we are weak in terms of asset management. But going forward, there is a plan that says we cannot have interns continuously because they have a term for 1 year. The need for us to have a plan B going forward to maintain the high level of information that we input. Because the interns will be here from November to next year. What happens when they leave, which means things fall apart? We cannot have that. It means, therefore, the CFO and his team in finance must also be visiting this region to understand and give support to regional management. Because our absence from the center of activity is a cause for concern and it will lead to some of these issues that we're speaking about here. Chairperson, with this few points, I can only indicate that my assessment going forward is that we can see the semblance of excellence in this team or expertise, if you wish to say so. We're getting quality information that the research colleagues that are sitting here, they do their research in each and every issue that we raise with this here. Whether the lack of quality, yes, we want to accept the fact that you say things are not sufficient, we should go back and be able to give you what is outstanding. That's the philosophy, that's the principle. And we are hands-on. I can assure you, I've traveled, I do visit centers without informing the regional commissioner or areas. That is a principle that we need to maintain. Until we inculcate this culture, this vessel will not move. But I believe we have quality and depth in this organization. Information is available to us. It's how long it takes us to provide and collate that information into qualitative information that makes sense to yourself. The other issues that have been raised by Honorable Member is on page 61 and page 66. Indeed, I cannot extricate myself that I was not here. I accept the responsibility. Though this thing happened after the financial when I joined, I cannot say I'm not accountable. I am accountable. But I'm accountable insofar as my team helps me to be able to understand the nuances and the problems. So going forward, some of these issues are not raised again. If they do, then we should be able to have mitigating reasons why they still continue. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Commissioner, let me, because you're not going to be able to answer the question of Mr. Maxwell on page 35. But what I want to, in all humility, advise, Commissioner, you know, on page 12, your signature is appended to this annual report. On page 8, the minister's signature is appended to this annual report. And as Mr. Max indicates, on page 31, it says the vacancy rate is because Treasury said you can't fill it up. I have sympathy for you now.
For now.
And the minister for now. I really do, because these things happened before your time. But the fact that your signature is appended to it and not the viewer's signature is appended to it, some of these people are going to land you in serious trouble. In very serious trouble. Because you are not going to be able to divorce yourself from these things. Neither is the minister going to be able to divorce herself from these things. So, and that is the difficulty that we are having right now. That life must go on. The department has had its problems. We've identified the problems. But I can tell you, Commissioner, you know, in my previous life, I worked in public accounts. 3 days after Lyndon T was appointed, he came to appear for public accounts. This department was like it was here. We said, you know, no, we understand, Baba, you're brand new here, we forgive you. We not forgive you, but we do what we are saying to you, that no, we understand the mitigating circumstances. You can go check this at Lyndon T, I'll tell you. Sibeko, the same thing. Hardly she came there, we looked at matters there, and it was very clear to us. You see, how do you have somebody that is the major supplier being the biggest donor? Now, I don't know, I'm brand new. We said, that's fine. You're brand new, we forgive you. We are saying it to you now again. All I'm saying is that a wise man learns from his death. I will not be fooled another time. Personally, I will not be fooled another time. Whether you are new or whether you are old, there will be no mercy from me another time. It's been 3 times too many. And I've given you concrete examples. Because it's not you, but it's those that collect the report. And I think your assessment about quality assurance that should be happening here is going to be your downfall. Somebody put something together, we just bind it, we send it to Parliament because who Lennon Max doesn't read. Now I think you must get the message that this committee reads. This committee reads. There's nothing that you bring here that we would not have processed ourselves. That members are able to say on page 33 you're saying this. However, last year's report on page 99, that's what you said. That's how serious we've been trying to take our work as this portfolio committee. So, as I said, Commissioner, it's not my place to give advice, but humility, I can give you lessons on that. Guti Bazo, Bazo Venking Arabantilam. If you don't begin to do what you are saying, I can assure you that when the TFMA kicks in and the buck stops with you, others will laugh because the buck stops with you. You'll be the one that's be carrying the end. I thought it was important to say that to you in front of your management, so that you guys understand that we are very serious, so that you guys understand that we are so serious that we are able to influence many things in this department going forward. We want to make that very clear to you, that we are able to influence many things in this department going forward. It is in our interest and in your interest that we keep stability. It is in our interest and in your interest that we work as a team. Members here have been constructive, none of them have been destructive, and we will continue to do that. But clearly the quality of work that comes out up to 2010 leaves a lot to be desired. Anybody else wants to comment? Otherwise, if we're ready to go and write our report, members, we can write our report. But if members are not, notice you, Mareka, we'll come to you later. But let's take... Abraham, and then Paliso, and then Quella.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I just want to point out that we had some of the responses to the questions that were raised last week. Now, for example, this document, there's a C written on top. The responses to issues raised by the PC. Item number two, outcome of the 2008 catering audit. And Chairperson, this is what the response is. Work on the catering audit was carried out and the report has been received by the department. My immediate question to that particular sentence will be, this is supposed to be the outcome of a 2008 audit, not a recent one. So if the audit was carried out and the report has been received, when was it carried out? When was the report received? Now it goes further, Chair. The report is awaiting submission to the Executive Management Committee of the Department. Findings and outcomes will be made available to the Portfolio Committee. Now, Chair, a 2008 report, of which a report has been, an audit, of which a report has been received by the department, and the report is awaiting submission to the Executive Management Committee. Now, Chair Vrachta, you know, we can't run an institution like this on this basis. So, my question, further question is, what inhibits the department from making the report available to the Portfolio Committee? It's a report, an audit on catering. Why can we not have insight to it? Because here at the end of the day, it is this committee that had to approve the budget. And it is this committee to which there should be a report. So if you've got it, why can't we have it? And then, Chair, I want to ask very, very humbly, if this sort of response is what pushes our blood pressure up, because it is just for the sake of a response. There is no effort that we went into this. Because this kind of response, Chair, we say in Afrikaans that it's niks seggend, it says nothing. We can't afford to have this kind of thing, Chair. And I want to tell the Commissioner again, I listened to him very attentively. But if this is the sort of outcomes that are now taking place under your watch, and I want to tell you, sir, this is absolutely not acceptable. Then, Chair, I'll be very short on the others. But, for example, the figures for the funding of the video postponement. in the presentation on the 26th of August 2009, the department reported to this committee that 7 facilities have made very good progress with live testing of the systems. And in the report, annual report, it is mentioned that only 1 of the 12, which were targeted, has been upgraded. Now, can you clarify this contradiction again? This information is very contradictory. And secondly, which center has been upgraded, as referred to in your annual report? And then, Chair, in this response here, the one that I referred to earlier, it is said that the cost implication for this facility is approximately 200,000. That's of the one I take it. And the cost to complete the whole project of 22 facilities. So suddenly, Chair, you know, the pigeons have laid eggs and they've hatched, and now from 12, from 11 it has gone up to 22, somewhat doubled up overnight. So this kind of contradictory information, Chair, where there's no, integrity, what must I accept? Right, then, Chair, these allegations that have been made by Mr. Van Deventer, if I go by what I've seen on the TV screens during the week, the people that were before the courts, I wouldn't say that they have been discharged. I think the case against them have been withdrawn. And I'm made to understand that it is basically as a result of the fact that this person, this Mr. Van Deventer, is not prepared to testify in court, because somebody has visited him and threatened him whilst he is incarcerated. Our question, Chair, what we ask very clearly, is explain to us how is this kind of thing possible? Do people who come to our facilities and request to see somebody just get easy access? Or is there some other method whereby you allow people to come in? Secondly, Chair, do you allow them just to have a free-for-all with anybody that comes there? Or do you have an officer that actually checks up what's going on? Somebody could have come there and done any sort of thing and come out of that facility. We would like to have a full report on this, Chair. How do you allow people into the facility? What is said here again, Chair, I don't want to read it all. It is again, Chair, I'm saying it with all due respect, it is niks zeggen. It says nothing. Chair, just one or two other short ones. In the 2007-2008, there were 116 posts established for psychologists. But in 2009-10, they say there's only 10. Now, what happened to the other 106 positions? Can we have some definitive replies? The report also mentioned, Chair, that the target of less than 50% vacancy rate for psychologists could not be reached. It's on page 36 of the report. But the table on page 198 shows that the vacancy rate for psychologists was zero. How is this possible, Chair? On the one side you say that you couldn't reach the target. On the other side you say that the vacancy rate for psychologists is zero. Again, Chair, I want to emphasize that if any person reads a report of a State Department, that person is going to, or that institution, or NGO, or whoever, whatever, is going to carry out its operation and its work in terms of what they have read in a State Department report. And if that report is full of inaccuracies, then, Chair, I ask the question, are we misleading deliberately, covertly or overtly, the broad population of this country? This is unacceptable, Sheikh. And we've been hammering for years on end at various departments, Sheikh, that when you present a document, don't you do some proofreading? Don't you make sure that the information you are providing is absolutely reliable and trustworthy? This does not seem to be the case, Chair, and we need to have this changed immediately. Chair, in the annual report 2009-10 under security on Operation Vala, it is mentioned that the targets could not be reached because regions, three of them, did not submit their reports. Now, firstly, Chair, what has been done about these regional commissioners who didn't do their work? It's obvious. What have we done with them? And what are the reasons that they did not find it feasible to report? Well, you should be telling us here that for A, B, C, D, and these are the things that we have done with these people. Not just tell us that they did not submit a report, and tell us and leave it at that, and you've done nothing further about it. This is not information to the committee, Chair. We're spending valuable time here, and we are not being empowered. Thank you, Chair.
Department? I'd like the team to respond on some of the issues raised here, especially on operations, VALA, and data interrogation. Before the team responds, Chair, I would like to take it with the seriousness with which the matter has been raised by Honorable Abrams here. The integrity of information. If information is not of integrity, then why submit it? I did allude, Chairperson, with your permission last week in my statement that we take the portfolio committee not seriously. I said. And if that is the line of thinking, then it is not worth any interaction whatsoever. Because if anything that comes from the portfolio committee is taken with impunity and the manner with which we approach it, then it's a problem. But I want to emphasize to yourself, Chairperson, that it is about time that we change that culture. There is a lot of procrastination in this organization. And it is about us trying to change that mindset and dealing with things that are core to the organization. I therefore request that we respond to some of these issues with the seriousness of the consequences that go with it. Thanks, Chair. Linda?
Okay. I'm going to respond to the issue of the subcommittee's position. During 2019, there were challenges with the management of the subcommittee because of the changes that were necessitated by the implementation of the various OSDs. The DCS was affected by all the OSDs that were agreed upon in PSCCC Resolution 1 of 2007. And because of the implementation, we had to abolish and create posts in all those in all the different occupations, and it resulted in some data integrity problems. So we do concede that the figure that is showing psychologists as only 10 posts is indeed incorrect, and we apologize to the committee for that. And, but in terms of the OSD, it has created a number of challenges for us in terms of moving the officials from the old salary structure to the new salary structure.
If I may ask, when was the TA? Because we want to do the follow-up.
The year of
what? The year of the
OSU,
that
could
be
the
new
No. There were questions around catering audits, video postponement, but we haven't. Let them respond to those, and then we will move to another one.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will talk to the issues raised by Mr. Abraham on the catering report.
On
the catering report. Indeed, Mr. Abraham, the response that was provided, this question was asked Chairperson last week on whether the report was done. We had indicated that the report was done, and the Chairperson has also verified that once it's been presented to the National Management Committee, we will make presentation to this board. So when I was providing, the team was providing the response, we responded in that way. But we do apologize if there was a need for further detail to put the house on board. Indeed, the outsourcing of the feasibility study was supposed to have been in 2008, but for reasons related to portfolio committee at that point in time, the feasibility study was not done. There were many reasons to that, Chairperson, as to why the feasibility study was not done, and I think that was also in the newspapers, and it was very, very well covered. Last year, we re-looked at the issue of the feasibility study. There were insufficient funds, but we realized that it was an absolute imperative to deal with the feasibility study. So what we had to do was to commission, to set out a tender, to obtain a service provider to do the work. Around October, November, a service provider was identified, and the term of the contract moved over into the financial year so that funds could be made available. The report was finalized and provided to us in around June, July, but I can get the full details on that, Chairperson. And we are waiting for the service provider to finalize the report, and it is now to be tabled before the National Management Committee.
But
I can provide the exact dates and the details on that
chip. Video postponement, anybody wants to volunteer and answer on any of those?
Just to confirm, although we will also put this in writing going forward, given that Mr. Modise CVC Corrections is not here. On the video arraignment, the total number of the project has been 22 from the beginning. The process, the question that was asked in relation to which one is complete, is Pretoria that is complete. But if we can undertake to put further clarity on that, I think the other element that we want to clarify is that the budget allocation for the video arraignment project lies in Justice and doesn't lie in DCS. So it's a cluster project, although it is taking place within our facility, that the budget dimension to it comes from the Justice budget.
Chairperson, may I respond on the defense deal? Yes,
just before you deal with the Fandierpenter one. Mm-hmm. As things stand today, what is the position on these video arrangements? What today has things stand today? How many centres do we have where people don't have to leave the centre to go physically to the magistrate's court? It might not be your responsibility totally. It's part of justice. And we're meeting with justice, by the way, one of these days. So I don't understand. How many of these centers have these things? Or is it all still in conceptualizing stage and we've not implemented any of them? Just an idea.
Chief, it's my understanding, and I am open to correction, but my understanding is that there's one that is fully operational. What I think that we need to provide to you is in relation to the 22, what is the state of the various, because they, each one is at a different stage, and I think that the best way that we can answer is to give you a list of full 22 and exactly what the state is of each of them.
We want to target Ms. Schreiner. We want you to give us the 21, because there's 22 of them, you say. You need to give us the 21 and say by the end of January that one will be operational, by the end of March that one will be so that if it's not operational, we ask the real question. Why is it not operational? whose head must roll. So that's what we want, because this is part of what the Minister of Justice has been going public about. Saying part of his criminal justice review is that people wouldn't have to leave the centres. They'd be able to do it there. It's going to drop down the amount of escapes or transit and so on. This is what he's saying publicly. Again, Mr. Abraham's question becomes relevant. If this is what we are allowing ANC ministers to say, and officials let them down, then I have a responsibility to defend that ANC minister. I have that responsibility. So we want to know from you, of those 22, there's one in Ladysmith, there's one in Maritzburg, there's one in Zakeni, that one is going to be done on this date, that one is going to be done on this date, so we can hold you accountable to those things. And you'll be able to say it was not done because public works didn't come to the party. It was not done because justice didn't give us their portion of the budget, so that we can begin to hold them accountable.
And the other person?
I would like this to not be responded because it's something that I've been informed by Mr. Mudisa, who was here last week and unfortunately not here today. He would have appropriately responded to this question very well. He has made inquiries around this matter. And the issue that comes up out of this particular incident says that we have investigating officers who are visiting that facility on this matter. And it was clearly indicated last week that we do have a register of people who visit whoever is in our facility. What he needed to be doing during the course of this week was to find out from the head of the center as to who among the people that we have there in a direct interview with him, because there's a list to indicate whether it's a police official, ex-official, family member who are involved in the so-called intimidation that is taking place. Now, bear in mind that I've been informed reliably that he is being kept at Kroonstad prison. And therefore, it is important for us, Chair, to inform Mr. Abraham that we'll get at the bottom of this matter. Because we cannot have a situation where in people kept in our facility that are being intimidated for crimes that are very serious and that needs to be taken care of. So we will be able to provide you in a written form. I should think I'm putting this on myself. By Monday morning, you should have that report. Mr. Modise is arriving tomorrow evening. So that I'll have a report on this matter. Because it is clear that we don't seem to be having a clear picture as to what are the causes that have gone into this matter. That's my concern also. I made that commitment to yourself that we'll follow up. It had to go to Kroonstad this week, but he couldn't. He had to go to Botswana. I had instructed him to do that myself. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Palito.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is there any effort that the department is making to make sure that the internal auditing is well resolved? Because I have read in this document of CSTR, and they have given us details and also knowledge of consistently the Auditor General is raising the issue of the internal auditing of the department is under-resourced. Commissioner, we would like to know if there are any efforts that is put in place to address this. For us, it is very clear that I even want to make a statement to say that one cannot really trust the annual report, this annual report in front of us. But I want to say we do welcome the drastic measures that the department is trying to put in place for the asset management and the intent, 496 intent. We do welcome
that effect. I also would like clarity on the Kimberley Correctional Chief question. Please tell us whether the key issue is resolved, totally resolved. The Kimberley Corrections key issue. The department reported in June 2010 that a service level agreement is in the office of the National Commission. The Department of Public Works is still awaiting for this agreement. When will this be finalized? For now, Jefferson, I will pause.
Thank you, Department.
Chairperson, on the internal audit, I can report confidently that others are coming out either this weekend or next week on the internal audit. We did make a commitment in our meeting last week. I'm subject to correction, but there is an advert on the remaining page that were outstanding. So this matter, ma'am, judge me by this week or next week, it should be in the newspaper. I had a meeting with the my team in HR. Linda, I'm not sure whether you can respond to this, but there is an advert for the remaining positions that were outstanding on the internal audit. With respect to the Kimberley, I would not like to commit to a lie or even give you false information here. The Kimberley key issue was raised by the committee when we met in another meeting here. I'm yet to get a response on that, Chairperson, so that we can give you a status on this, because it was a matter of serious concern and security breach. But I know there is a report on this matter. I can't recall what's the status on this. With respect to the service level agreement with the Department of Public Works, I made a commitment to yourself and the committee that by the end of September, if you recall, Chairperson, that this matter shall have been dealt with. I have since made all the efforts of looking through the document. I have referred, because there are a number of clauses that are committing the organization to things that we might not be able to deal with. The matter has been given to my legal team, because I'm uncomfortable with some of the clauses that bind us onto things that I'll not be able to achieve in the short term. So because it's a service level agreement, it has a number of legal implications. So I'm saying to yourselves, before the end of this year, that service level agreement shall have been signed. I was completely uncomfortable because it was drawn by them to suit their interest in this matter. So we need to have something that meets our interest also, so that we can clear some of these matters. Bearing in mind, Chair, that the service level agreement has been an issue that has been on the table for a long time, and it's an issue that was not properly addressed until you called us to a meeting where in both parties, in your presence, committed to clear this matter. Because you cannot have a service provider who is in your operation who is not having a document that holds you accountable, escape clause, penalty clause, and all those things. So we needed to have something that speaks to all of us accordingly. I should think the only one that I don't have certainty is Kimberley. I would like to commit something that will take this organization as if there is no seriousness into it. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, then we will have to make a proposal that I think in previously we had a very good practice of having both a DCS and public works, and it worked very well. So for this service level agreement, we will have to again have a joint meeting with both departments and both portfolios. Thank you, Chair.
There's an agreement that in 3 months' time we're going to have that meeting, and I think we have it in our program anyway, so
yeah.
It's going to take place. It will take place. Vavakwe?
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. The AG yesterday in his report talked on the tangible assets, where it was said that there's an inclusion of an opening balance of 129 million adjustments made to the opening balance of last year, which management was unable to provide supporting documentation. Now the question is, how long is this department in terms having this amount? And what is to be done in order to get rid of this 129 million? Because to us as the committee, it means then we'll always have a qualified report if we don't deal with this 129 million. And another matter that was raised by the AG on the emphasis of matters and matters that the losses that were incurred by the department were the issue of 9 million rand of the cars that were lost or damaged. Well, how are these cars were lost, and who were the people that were responsible for the losses, and what happened to them? Also, because we want to try and help the National Commissioner as well. You see, there are things that some of us as the committee think that I can't deliver by some officials. And if the action is not being taken, they'll always continue doing this thing. It is for this reason that we need to know what happened to these officials or whoever that made the department to pay 9 million rand. And if nothing was done, was taken to those people, was done to those people, things should be done now.
Let's take Nyan, because these are only two. If you have any, then we'll ask the department to respond. If there are any, please call in. We're too late too much to drink, man. I'm worried about you. You okay? That was good. No, good. If you're not ready, Mamianda, it's fine. We can do it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the movable tangible assets, major assets, and the supporting documents, we got some documents because this was a previous qualification, but we came to realization that there are other documents that will never trace back. And in our action plan and our interaction with National Treasury, and which is also reflected in the action plan, is that we needed to agree which should be regarded as the opening balance on notice. Because going forward, all the assets that are on notice, as we speak now, have got all supporting documentation. the reason why we had these balances well, which we cannot account for, is because of the previous system, which was not assisting us. Just to give an idea to the committee, is that the system, when you buy a new asset, and it is, listen, let's say I buy a new chair in these chairs that are here. It will include this chair here, but it will regard it as, it will just take an average price of the new item that you have included here. Now, when you trace it back, obviously the on the invoice, it won't reflect the average price now of this new item that you have included. That is just one of the problems that we had with the old system, hence we moved to logging. But as the CFO was responding last week, that this matter should be finalized with National Treasury before the end of November. So we are hopeful that this issue, this qualification on the balances next year should not be there. And the issue regarding the accident management of fleet. Chairperson, this is a problem. This is a problem, and every time I report on fleet, I have indicated that it is a problem, and both on the supervision side, on the honesty of our officials, and also in the general getting of returns from the region so that we can properly manage the fleet. But just to give you an idea, the statistics that I have here, we have got a fleet of 3,940. And per region, if I can just give you that, Gauteng has got 799. That was in the first quarter. That's the fleet that they have. But the accidents that they had during that quarter was 32. In the second quarter, they had 799 fleet, but they had an accident of 54. I'm just giving you that as an example. Now, giving you the totals of the first quarter and the second quarter in terms of accidents, in the first quarter, it was 163, and in the second quarter now, it's 198. Now, each and every accident, no matter how minor it is, it must be investigated. And we need a clear report that indicates who should be accountable. There is the witness where it is actually in the investigation. All the reports, majority of them, that actually come for write-off, you find that there is no substance recommending why they should be written off. Or you find that the investigation report delays for 3 years, and then the recommendation is that it is prescribed, or that an official has left the department. Those are the things. In fact, the CFO, because the delegations for write-off lies with the CFO and the commissioner, they have made it clear to the regions as well that they are not going to write off. There are many submissions that have been sent back for re-investigation,
yeah,
because the submission does not make any sense at all. Hence, you find that in some of these, when you look at the 9 million because of the losses, it comes out from there. But we, going forward, we said we need to manage it perhaps differently, looking at benchmarking with other departments that have outsourced the fleet and also the management of it. So we are in that process of doing a feasibility study, which will then assist us in improving how best we can manage fleet, because it is an area that it is causing sleeplessness for us. That is the what I can report to the committee.
Doctor, do you have to follow up on this matter specifically, or is it a new one?
Yeah.
No. Before I come to you, I just want to check from Gakat, because I want to note you down as the next speaker. Otherwise, if it's on this matter, let's conclude it.
I just want to clarify
No, it's the same matter, it's fine. You'll talk about this thing. Because he had raised it. Any follow-up question? On this matter, not a new question.
Yes, Chairperson, it's the very same matter. And this is what we're talking about, in short.
Okay, it's the same. Under the order of support, on page 16,
Okay, fine.
It says the Departmental Investigation Unit has submitted its report on 309 cases investigated during the year. Of the total cases, 256 have been finalized. So, what about the other 53 cases? And also, what are these investigations for? If you can clarify, friends, I don't know whether it's the investigation for the vehicles or for what.
Fine. Let us just elaborate on what Mr. Sweller said. Are these things insured? That is the question that he's asking. Are they insured? And I know that, and we asked specifically the AG's office yesterday, are there impediments to insuring these things? So when you respond, we have verified whatever you responded. Our concern is, you know where I live, I see department cars every day. I'm not asking whether they do their work or not. They probably are doing their work in terms of parole supervision. If these things are not insured and one of them hits into my car and it's your fault, then you have a very serious exposure. If it is your fault, I say your fault, if it's a department's fault, you hit into somebody's car or somebody's house, there's a serious exposure to these things, especially a department like ours that has cars riding around 24 hours a day. You check up at night, you check up in the day, you check up in the morning. So I think that is why he's asking the question. It's not a matter of yes, they're insured or no, they're not insured. You need to understand the concerns that we're having around this thing. The second thing that I'd want to say from my side, sir, on the basis of your answer. Again, real life says to me, you know, if you have a problem with insurance, you phone or write to the ombudsman, he gives you 30 days in which to explain why or why not. Otherwise, you don't have a case. I don't understand why you're giving people 3 years. Every case of an accident in this department should have a finalized report within 30 days. That should be the norm that you must put in place. After 30 days of the... Because if you don't do that, everything else you do, even if you want to claim from whoever, it just doesn't work anymore because they, from that other organization's point of view, you've missed the deadline. And my suspicion is that you are doing this just because you don't care. It's not your... When I say you, I'm saying officials. They don't care. It's not their car. Or as a deliberate attempt not to get to the truth of who are the cause of it. As management, you need to change that behavior. So our recommendation is that 30 days after the accident, you need to get a report of all accidents so that you can take a informed decision whether you go ombudsman route, whether you go right off route, but not 3 years back. Not 3 years.
It is true, if I can start there, Chairperson. In fact, in terms of our logistical procedures, it is 30 days investigation must be completed. Whether it is an accident or you lost an asset, because it must be investigated, 30 days it must not be. It already, that the extended period of the investigation, it is non-compliant. It is a way of trying to delay the finalization of the case.
On that one, Mara, we're going to become very tough with you on that one. In your next report to us, we want to get how many insurance claims exceeded 30 days. Because you're saying it's policy. if there are any, you say, no, I'm not saying now, I'm saying just for future, so that we begin to focus it on. In future, we don't want to know how many are there. We want to know how many of them in this book are older than 30 days. And my question to you is going to be why? Because you failed to comply with your own policy. Okay? Because you're saying it's policy, I mean.
Yes, it is policy. They know that. The next question was about the insurance. There are only two vehicles that are insured. Those are the least vehicles in the ministry, but the normal pool, it is not insured.
Is there an exposure? I think Mr. Dyer is an upgiver. If your driver rode into somebody's porch tomorrow, what happens? And it's his fault, your driver's fault. How do we deal with that?
You see, because I can't go and claim not to pay for it. It's our fault, it's somebody's fault, it's 9 million. Is that part of this 9 million rand, or does that become litigation? Or how do we deal with that? Unless you're saying you've never had accidents that were not our fault as a department. There must be a case study where there was at least one. And the question we're asking, how do you deal with that one? Where does it get reflected in the expenses for the year?
Chairperson, that is true. But what happens, people when they are involved in the accident, they normally call to the treasury regulations and they want these cases to be referred to the state attorney so that they can formulate an opinion, because the treasury regulations does indicate that if there is a dispute, you need to refer the case to them. That is another...
We're saying where there's no dispute. Have there been no accidents where your people have not been the guilty party? We don't want the figures, we want to understand how it works so that it helps us helping you. Have there been a case where your people were at fault? After dispute, it's your people that were at fault. Has it happened, and how have you reflected it in the expenses for the year?
Chairperson, that is true. It has happened that many times where our officials have been at fault, and then It is then reflected as a claim against the department as a third party.
So it's part of the 9 million then?
Yes.
That's all we want you to understand. Right. And then?
But before you carry on, there was this question about the 300 claims. Is that the one you're trying to ask, Dr.?
No, I'm covered with that question.
Oh, you're covered with that one?
With that question. But I've got another question or a follow-up. What do you do with those officials, or what did you do with those officials? And also, you were saying here, the investigation must be finished in 30 days' time. Why it ends up to 3 years?
Normally, reasons that are given are not acceptable reasons. I will say that because even myself, I reject those because they are not acceptable to me.
We're getting at this topic. We don't have to get the answers. We'll do it. You know, we are saying that you guys have not managed. The bottom line is you've not managed. You say 30 days, guys take 3 years. I can almost guess that the next question that somebody will ask on this side is, so what have you done with that individual? Mm-hmm. I can almost guess that that's what's going to be the question. And you're going to be able to say, we can't do anything. So let's not sing a fog around. We must make a statement that we're making now, that you go and fix that thing up. We made a commitment here. I want to remind the rest of you that are here. We said to Mr. Mbuli, and I'm saying it again now, if there is any loss to this department because Mr. Mbuli gave false and legal advice, she's on torture. We are saying to the rest of you as well, if any of you guys are going to be party national commissioner to fruitless or wasteful expenditure, before we ask for your head, it's better that you ask for their head back. Because the PFMA is very clear. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the commissioner is going to have to act, or we will hold the commissioner even criminally liable. So our advice to you, commissioner, is that before we get to you, you better get to them so that you can say, I've dealt with the problem. Because if you've not dealt with the problem, we're going to deal with you. It's because we've had 5 years of qualifications in this department. It's because we've made an undertaking that we're never going to end our term of office without having met our target of unqualified. It's because of those reasons that we are going to take it upon ourselves, National Commissioner, that it will be tough on you because it will be dealing with our targets, not because we are personal against you. So we are suggesting to you be tough on these people because your head is on the block, Ma. Ma.
We still want him to respond to what have you done, Sasha. Okay, you know what he's done. You know he's done nothing. He's done nothing. Going forward, we will deal with him. Oh, my. I think that's the fact. I think we must stop. I'm now have reached the point where we are dancing on eggs. We are lying to each other. We've been diplomatic.
I don't have the time for that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have the time for that anymore. It's the time where we must either say to each other, look, we are drawing the line in the sand here, all of us. Going forward, we'll all be held accountable and we will do the honorable thing and walk or be fired. Or we pass away. But I want to suggest that we close this meeting at this point because we are not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. And I'm not saying it's because we are fighting with you, but I think maturity has to come in. Where we sit and take, and from all the information that we've got, to say, look, our objective assessment is X, with the understanding that beyond today, everybody will be held accountable, and must be seen to be held accountable. Because I don't want to be meeting for meeting's sake and having just a compliance meeting because we must meet. We're waiting it after the time, Bob.
Yeah, this has been a perennial thing. What I want to ask you is the following. Do we, when somebody is entrusted in the department with something of value like a vehicle, is there a manual that that particular individual has to sign, binding him or herself to doing A, B, C, D? Secondly, Chair, way forward, shouldn't we have a system where once a person is found guilty of a transgression, and I'm sorry to use the word, that that person be harshly dealt with if found to have transgressed? But you see, Chair, You won't be able to take action against the person if you haven't got that person to sign that these are the conditions under which that item is entrusted to the person. And that the following shall be done should that item get into disrepair or be involved in an accident or whatever. And if those things are not carried out, that document must make it very clear that the sanction will be A, B, C, D. I think that's the route we have to go.
Well, I ask you to put your phone down. I don't want to... You see, I'm agreeing with you, Mr. Abraham. That's what I would do and that's what I would ask. But we are not going to micromanage this department. We're not going to tell you what you must do or what you mustn't do. What we are saying to you, Commissioner, if a report comes out like this where the figures can't be relied upon, where the performance cannot be relied upon, regardless of how many years left you have on your contract, we're going to ask for your removal. Now, before that happens, because it's not going to be your fault in this case, he must do whatever is necessary to manage government. So we're giving the incentive to the commission. And also the consequence. He must then take that risk and deal with it accordingly in his line function. We are not going to say, do this, do that, don't do this. I think our points must be clear. The PFMA gives us the power. We are being generous enough to say to Commissioner, you've got
another 8 months or 9 months until the end, whatever the case might be, until we have another report like this. But if that report has no improvement or in fact is a deterioration, we don't have to be shy of using the PFMA. Yeah, we don't have to be shy of using the PFMA. So we're not giving you a license to go and clean your department out and fire everybody or whatever. But we are saying, Commissioner, that you better go and make sure that this team that you are saying have got all the skills and the depth and the whatever, harness them in the best, because we are going to put the pressure on you and you will take it if you haven't put the pressure on somebody else. We said yesterday, in an open meeting, for instance, that when it comes to remand detainees and those type of things, because before we heard about your plan, our view was that those that are guilty, not guilty, those that contribute directly to that were SAPS and justice, and yet we carry the can of correctional services. We were beginning to reach consensus that that pressure must go to SAPS and to the police, because we feel we have to fix this department up. So we're going to put the pressure where it resides, and it's on you, Bob. How you dispense of that thing is your problem. But from this side, rest assured that we are going to be very tough. That's from our side. So I'm suggesting, unless people have a question that they want to ask for advice, I don't really think we should be asking questions in terms of getting solutions. But if we want to empower in terms of where we're sitting, it's fine. And then we'll allow the Commissioner to wrap up on his side. Let us go away and see how do we write our report to Parliament. But I'm sure that with the exception of Mr. Max, and even Mr. Max in his short time would now have a sense of the challenges that we have. So if members are to offer some advice, let's dispense with asking questions and getting accountability. If you're to give them some advice as to where you are, maybe you should give that advice, so that when they go, they mustn't say, Abasela, we'll start with police, so if there's anybody else that wants to, and then Commissioner, you and your team will wrap it up, because I think you'll have a sense of where we are as a committee. But let's start with police. I know Max wanted to speak earlier. You would also have after police and Max. You're closing. In other words, I'm giving every member an opportunity for closing remarks if you want to. Department will then close. We will go away and do our business. Let's start there with Umam Nyanda, and we'll come down. Anak Nyanda, Ngwenya, and we'll come down and beg your pardon, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also apologize for coming late. We're having a meeting of weeks, therefore it has taken long. But what I can say to the department, well, I'm saying that thank you for everything. You have tried your best, and whatever you are saying is not to say you are saying it because we are fighting with you. But we want to work together with you. But also, you must also assist us so that we can make your work easy by giving us a correct information. To the commissioner, I did say before that you have put yourself on a boat that is full of dust, and all this dust was waiting for you to have a wipe, ukuthi usule. You are the father of this department. There's no one we can cry for. Everything we're going to cry for you, and we're going to put it on your shoulder, and together with the chairperson, hopefully together we're going to work and make our next report of next year to be more better than this report. I think you should.
Yes, chairperson, very short. I just want to say to the commissioner, in his absence yesterday, I made the remark that it seems to me that the department has been managed like a sparkle shop. because I visited all these places, father shows where people run around with loose papers and make remarks and prices and who owns them, what. And it's about time that the situation is going to be turned around. You have committed yourself to address these issues. But you know that only one person comes into an organization, it's only you as an individual. You are managing people who've been appointed by previous commissioners for whatever reason. So it's only you with the existing personnel. Existing RCs, existing area commissioners, other commissioners and other management staff. And you will face resistance, strong resistance, to do what is supposed to be done. And it is clear, Chairperson, that this department, there's a lack of commitment, there's a lack of supervision, there's a lack of discipline, and it seems to me it's a lack of, people don't have pride, some of them, in the department to do their job. And it's a huge task for the commissioner. He's alone, and we can threaten him to say, your head is going to roll. And I agree, that it should be the approach, because unlike yesterday's recommendation that we should call individuals, I'm totally, as a manager, totally against it, because you've got senior staff, management, who is responsible in managing this department, and if they don't know how to manage, then they must be removed. It's as simple as that. So I buy in with that notion of yours, but I must tell the commissioner that as far as the committee is concerned, whatever we can do to empower him from the committee side, we will do so. But it is a reciprocal approach. As indicated by the chair, that the onus rests on you with your team to go and address these issues. We cannot continue with this status quo. We cannot maintain the status quo in this department. And what is also important, Chairperson, is that I think the deputy mentioned it and the CFO, that they already drew up a turnaround plan on the issues indicated by the AG. And I requested that we should have a copy of that, and because in that report should indicate by when who is going to do what. And then we as a committee will then decide when to call them into account to these undertakings, whether they have met those deadlines, so that we can see progress, because we cannot go on with the situation. Thank you.
So, thank
you, Chairperson. It's too early to say to the commissioner, your head will roll, because he didn't inherit a clean slate. This was not a clean slate, Commissioner. Therefore, carefully study what the Auditor General is giving you, because he's giving you a very clear and honest report, and act accordingly. To be a sweetheart in this department is not going to work. The good ones excluded. But the most of them, it's not an easy one. It's clear that all the criminals, you are looking after all the criminals, but criminality is also within the department, internal. And that's why the vetting is so important. This department, and it's a matter of urgent attention. Urgent. Number 26, Kule department. You can't be a 26 and then looking after offenders. 26, and then they say for the scalp, the for wolf. Commissioner. You must be harsh. The turnaround strategy must be a real turnaround strategy. If you must have Operation Koga, don't play games, because people are not playing games.
They are making fools out of the portfolio committee giving us inaccurate information. And that's not nice for us to sit here interrogating information that is cooked. It is not nice. So what I'm saying is that Operation Goga, where Auditor General has got Operation Clean Audit, you must also have Operation Goga in your department. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I've been listening very carefully for the 2 birthdays. But the only thing I want to say to the department, where the department is doing good, thumbs up, and where the department is going wrong, thumbs down. This committee is not going to approve your next budget. Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. May I also want to say to the department, be committed. We've got a new leader, the commissioner. Follow his steps. The way he addresses you people. Please, I'm pleading. Follow his steps. Commit yourself. You people are not committed. So as from today, I would like you to commit yourself. Put hands on duty. Don't come here always with my talk. You know, it's not nice. No, you must criticize constructively. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ma. Baba, that's what it is.
Chairperson, I have no words. I'm humbled by the serenity and the candid approach with which this committee has provided me on an issue of leadership and ability to transform the organization. I've never had a doubt in my mind upon taking this position that I'll get this support. I'm humbly also honored by the fact that the men and women of integrity of yourselves have declared it very openly that there is a need for this organization to become one of the organizations that excels in its function. My humility, therefore, sits with a very heavy heart in the sense that indeed a single swallow does not make a summer. And I'm also encouraged by the kind words of the committee that says, yes, depth there is, but what needs to be done is to harness the resources that we have at our disposal. I can assure you, sitting here, that in the short space of time that I've been in this organization, when times are difficult, these resources come from yourselves and the team. I have a belief that the turnaround strategy that we have and that I have as a vision will certainly come to fruition. But it comes with a responsibility and territoriality that it deserves. I'll not fail you. I'll try the utmost that I have in my capacity. Because I've not come here to cast aspersion on the team, but to have a full belief in them. Certainly, I'll walk that narrow path. But as the narrow path opens up, to create avenues for me to be able to move and do what is possible, it is only through the team. And I'm also thankful for the assurance in terms of support, and this support I can see it in terms of action and in the manner with which you deal with issues of correctional services. Would like to thank you for your engagement, the support. I should think the team has listened. I've definitely taken note of what has been said here. The quest for excellence and the quest for change in this organization should not be something that eludes us. We cannot afford to fail, and fail the government, and fail the people of South Africa. Because it's not about the individual. It is about country reputation and image. If we fail in this quest, we collectively fail. Chairperson, I would like to thank your leadership and the team that you lead for depositing confidence in me and the ability to run this organization. And certainly I will equally convey the same message to the minister, that nothing is lost here, but there's a huge belief and trust that we can make it. We have made a commitment to yourself in our last meeting that by 2011-12 we should have a clean audit. A clean audit it shall commit, National Chairperson. Because all the things that have been pointed in our direction by the Auditor General are possible and they are achievable. Nothing that has been pointed in that document is not possible. It is only us who are to blame if we fail in that question. I'd like to thank the team that has come with me today, thank the ministry present here for the support, morally and otherwise, for the turnaround that you want to achieve within the organization. I would therefore request the chairperson and your team that please don't get tired with us. The journey has just started. And the journey is long, but it is up to us to make it short. Because we cannot have an endless journey that does not come to a positive fruition of what we want to achieve. I want to thank you also for your direct intervention in issues that are core to the organization. And we'd like to thank you for the steadfastness with which you have dealt with the matters that are before us. We therefore request that in our dealing with the budget and other issues that are before you, consider the fact that we will do our best and we shall be able to deal with the issues that are there. May I then indicate to yourself, Chairperson, the committee, that we'll be going to a mid-term review, which will provide me with an opportunity to be able to understand the deeper issues that affect this organization, where each and every manager responsible for his or her branch will be present to account on issues that have been raised here. It will be for the first time that we sit as a collective and look into a strategic plan and a vision going forward. It is out of this meeting that we'll be able to come back to you to start doing what is correct and provide quality information. We made a commitment also to yourselves that going forward reports shall be collated in a manner that befits this organization with dignity and honor. I thank you all.
Right. We want to close the meeting, but to emphasize each and every one of you that we have total confidence in you. You dare not fail us, ladies and gentlemen, because we dare not fail as a team. 165,000 people can make major difference depending on once they become out of our facility. Better human beings 165 times, at least 5, if you take the average family size. But similarly, if they come out worse than they were when they went in, it's 165,000 times 5 that are affected. So for us, it's an end game for me. Let me put it that way. For me, it's an end game, and I'm not going to fail in my task, because it's really, we have an opportunity to change the lives of South Africa. In a major way, we have an opportunity. With you doing your part and we doing our part, and the minister, and we said this yesterday as well, doing her part, it shouldn't be insurmountable. It should not be insurmountable. So you have our support. We will fight with you occasionally, not because we don't like your face, ma'am, but because we think you're letting the team down. And similarly, we'll fight with the minister, not because we don't like her face, but when we get a sense that any one of us are letting the team down, it makes us nervous. As a team. So that's how we want to operate, Commissioner. Really as a team. We're not here as a watchdog. After the facts, come and fight with you. We'll walk this path with you, and together we will cry if we fail, or together we'll celebrate if we pass. So until our next meeting, which is on overcrowding, I think it's a disaster. Yeah. Go well. We will go and prepare our report to members. We're meeting in E305 at 2 o'clock tomorrow. E305 at 2 o'clock to write our report. 305. We shouldn't be longer than an hour. But we must all be there tomorrow.
I know,
Dr.
Melanie, doing this. Yes?